Lord, we thank you again for this evening that you've given us. First of all, Lord, we thank you for your word that we're about to go into and to learn from. God, I pray that you just give me clarity of thought, give me clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through everything that is said and done. I thank you for every member that is here tonight. I pray that you just bless them. Be with the ones who aren't able to be with us, whether they're sick. Lord, I know there's some that are fighting some horrific battles of being sick and some things that are just overtaking their body. I pray that you just bring healing to them. Lord, we pray for these missionaries, the Wormley family, who with the passing of his uncle, Don Swayze, Lord, we just pray that you just, first of all, bring the whole entire family just the comfort and peace that they need to get through this difficult time in life. We also pray for our first responders who are affected by this as well. Lord, we know that many of these men and women who serve, it's like a big family. They're all connected to each other because of what they do. And so, God, I pray that you just watch over them. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Just to let you know, I asked prayer the other night for my interview with the police department. It went rather well. They said 2 hours. It only took me about an hour and 20 minutes. It was basically me being interrogated. I kid you not. They took me into a room, fingerprints, picture, and then they took me into an interrogation room, slapped a recorder down on the table, and began to go through a bunch of questions with me. So it was quite the experience. I enjoyed it. But then I have to wait a month because then they do this whole big background check, and then my final one will be with the chief of police. So looking forward to that opportunity to serve. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 1 tonight. Book of John chapter 1. Again, before I forget, my mind's just going everywhere. Don't forget, Grace has a graduation party this Saturday at their place at 12 o'clock. And if you can be there, it'd be great for that. Also, after church, if you could, they're going to be using some of our tables if go over to the gymnasium right afterwards to be a help to load those up onto the trailer, get them in nice and tight, and Gary would appreciate that. So more hands, the better. Amen? All right. You guys alive tonight? Yes. If you're not alive, there's an alternative. It's called the dirt nap, and I don't want to be taking that. I usually refer to it as pushing daisies. But anyway, to put in your Bibles, the book of John, chapter number 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses. I titled this tonight, The Living Word, and we're going to see tonight the importance of Jesus really being here since the beginning. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we have so many people who don't believe that Jesus has always been. And they'll believe in God, but they don't believe that God and Jesus are the same. But we have many places in scriptures that proves that Jesus has always been. And hopefully we can see this tonight to be a help to you. Let's begin reading the verse number 1 of chapter number 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Look verse number 2, because this is important for us to see. "The same was in the beginning with God." We're going to go ahead and we're going to take that all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 here in a little bit. Verse number 3, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now there's going to be a shift here in the next few verses, and basically it's going to be talking about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, who was out in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord. And we're going to see this take place. It says, verse number 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Before I go on, if you were to go over to Israel, the three biggest names that will be talked about in any tour group that takes place, one will be Jesus, or they'll refer to the Messiah. The second one will be David. David is right up there with him. Matter of fact, one of the most beautiful places to visit while you're in Jerusalem is the city of David. And the city of David has a tremendous view of the Mount of Olives. And just as you're looking at the Mount of Olives, you're going to see this huge valley. And really, it's just a great picture of really how you can see how David and Bathsheba, all those things take place. It's just the visual that's there is just unbelievable. So you got Jesus, you got David, who is talked about quite often, and the third person is John. You don't really hear of anybody else being talked about in these groups, and there's a reason for it, because these are the men who stick out in history with them. They will talk about Peter for a little bit, but I'll be honest with you, I heard nothing. Correct me if I'm wrong. I heard nothing about Paul. It's usually those three men. Exactly, just a little bit. So these three men are ones who are normally talked about. Okay, so verse number 6, let's read it again. It says, there is a man sent from God whose name was John. First of all, we got to understand that this is not Jesus Christ, because verse number 6, he says he was a man sent. From who? Sent from God. Meaning that John the Baptist hasn't always been. Okay? Verse number 7 says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So John the Baptist really had an easy job, but I believe John the Baptist had a very difficult job making the way for Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, it says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So there's probably some confusion around with these folks. Well, John the Baptist, he's the Messiah, you know, because that's what they're saying here. He was sent to bear witness of the light, but he was not that light. Verse number 9, it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Before I go on with this, you think about creation here, Jesus being a big part of creation with his Father, how he brought everything into existence. But it says here, everything was made by him, but here's something sad. The world knew him not. Okay, we have three builders in here who spent a majority of their life making people happy, trying to do everything that they can to please them with their job. And I know these gentlemen, and I know that when they're done, they want people to brag about their work. Would I be wrong in saying that? You want people to brag about your work. Why? Because that brings in more customers. I know a builder here in town that I've known for years. And someone told me years ago, now I can show you how this was his house. Because when he builds a house, he puts a certain crown above the garage. And so every time I go buy new homes, because I do this quite often, if I see that thing there, I know exactly who built that house. So it's pretty unique when you begin to think about those things. But the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Verse number 11, it says, he came unto his own. And here's something sad when you see this. It says, and his own received him not. You see here that Jesus was facing rejection. Okay, nobody in here likes to be rejected. Everybody likes to be accepted. Everybody likes to be welcomed. But when you feel rejected, you feel as if nobody cares. Well, think about that with Jesus, who left his Father after everything was said and done. He left his Father to come to this world so that what? We can have eternal life, but the world received him not. They want to have nothing to do with him. So as we continue to go on here, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now there, that's talking about our salvation. Amen for that? So because we have received him, we have something that's promised to us, and that is this. He gave power to us to become the sons of God. Now, that should be enlightening to a lot of folks, and that might be discouraging to some folks, because what do you mean by discouraging? Well, what did it say the verse before? The world received him not. The world could care less for him. So with that being said, when you accept Christ as your Savior, how does the world view you? Well, I believe they view us the way it's talked about here in Scripture. So let's read this again, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One of the importance of this chapter here is to show us the deity of Christ. In Genesis 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. But one thing that we must understand, God wasn't alone. He was not alone during creation. And it is shown in some verses in the Bible. And I will show these verses as we go along tonight. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Book of Genesis chapter number 1. And we'll see some evidence from God's word itself that will show us that he was not alone during creation. We're going to back up to verse number 24. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Okay, so you would think that that's the end of that. Well, no, we got to go on through verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. When you see God said, let us, that is referring to God is talking to who? God's not talking to you and I or about you and I at this time. God's talking about his son. So God says, let us make man. Then it goes on, and more proof here. It says, in our image, after our likeness. So three times within the first part of this verse, we are seeing God was not alone during creation. In fact, he was saying the obvious, and that is this. If we go back to John chapter number 1, the obvious thing that is being shown here is this. Jesus has what? Always been. He's always been. But this, unfortunately, doesn't satisfy man in our world today. Because many refuse to believe that God and Jesus are the same in one. And I know it can be very difficult to explain to people. And I've tried to do it, and I don't do it justice. But God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're what? They're one. But they all have different roles that they perform. We can think about the roles that they perform, and that is this. What did Jesus say to his disciples after his death? When I leave, there is going to come what? There is going to come a comforter. Well, who's that comforter? It's not rocket science, folks. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to be our comfort. And then when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, who dwells in our heart? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus, because Jesus is with his Father. You see the different roles that they perform? And so the Holy Spirit comes as our comforter. He comes and he dwells in our heart when we ask him these things. And so it's hard to satisfy man with this answer, because they refuse to believe that God and Jesus are the same in one. Not only that, but in verse number 14, and I know we read this, but let's read this again of John chapter 1. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who's that talking about? If the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, folks, who's the living Word? It's Jesus. Which is why I titled this tonight, The Living Word. So verse number 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what I like, as I begin to look at this, we have yet to see Jesus' physical form because we weren't blessed to be around during his time, but we do see his form in what way? We see his form in the Word of God. Why? Because that God's Word is living, and who's living? It's Jesus Christ. He was made flesh for what reason? So that he can dwell among us. Imagine being the Son of God and still, as I said a little while ago, as we read this in verse number 12, I believe it was verse number 12, but imagine being the Son of God and still being rejected by the world, because we all want to be accepted by folks. Even in the book of Isaiah, Jesus was mentioned as we continue to do this. Let's go ahead and turn there. I have it written down here, but I want us to see this. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. And we'll read verse number 6 here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who is this talking about here? Again, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, I like the names that Jesus has. A lot of us have some nicknames, do we not? Some of us, when we're growing up, we have three names, first, middle, and last. And when mom called you by your middle name, you knew something was wrong. And you had to pay attention to your middle name. I didn't know what my middle name was until I was about 28. Had no clue. But I knew Jeffrey Scott's name by name. I mean, it was there. And Christy Lynn, I knew those names by heart, but no, I'm just kidding. But here we see some names that were given to Jesus. And I like this. Wonderful. Think about that. Just thinking about Jesus, you begin to think how wonderful he is. And then you begin to wonder how great he is and how magnificent he is. And then another name that is given, I like this, is Counselor. You know, we all need counsel from time to time, do we not? Well, how do we get our counsel as believers? We get our counsel from where? From the Word of God. Who's the Word of God? Jesus Christ. Who's our counselor? Jesus Christ. I get excited. I don't know about you, but we continue to go on. And he's also referred to as the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Let me stop here for a little bit. The Mighty God. I'm not going to dwell on this, but folks, let's get excited about something tonight, if we can, just for a little bit. If we can just have a little bit of a Baptist costal fit. I mean, heaven forbid we crack a smile, or heaven forbid we say amen in church and give a fist pump. But we don't serve a wimpy God. We serve a mighty God. And we need to be excited about that. Not only that, here's some more excitement as we're talking about this. We don't serve a God who is not in existence. We don't serve a God who is dead. We serve a God who is living. He's everlasting. You and I, we have an expiration date on our life. You know, we come in at a certain time, and we don't know our expiration date, and I'm glad for that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to know if I was going to die in 5 years. You guys might want to know if I'm going to die in 5 years. Oh man, we only got 5 years left, and whew, I can handle this. We got some guys at work that got a couple years left, and they're going to retire. I'm thinking, yeah, I can make this. we can make this work. But anyway, we serve a mighty God, and then we serve a God who is the everlasting Father, meaning we will not outlive him. He's everlasting. And then as we continue this trend of bringing some things out about his name, we serve the Prince of Peace. when there's all sorts of chaos in the world, and not just in the world, folks, when there's all sorts of chaos in our life, who can we go to give us that peace? That's Jesus. And we've all been in those tough times. You heard pastors say Sunday how he wouldn't change anything over these last few months in his life because of this. Because he said these words, God is good. You know, I can sit there and think of some things that has happened in pastor's life that, I would want that change. But he doesn't want that change because he sees the goodness of God. Why does he see the goodness of God? Because God is giving him peace. Why is God giving him peace? Because his son's the Prince of Peace. That's why. Turn your Bibles as we're still in there. Book of Isaiah chapter number 44. We'll see this here. Isaiah chapter number 44. Verse number 6, it says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first. Again, that's more proof that as we go that Jesus has always existed. He's the living Word. He's the Son of God. And now Jesus here, he says, I am the first. And then he doesn't stop there, and he says, I'm the last. You know what that means? That means there's nobody else in between. He's the beginning, and he's the end. Nobody else comes in between and tells him what's going to go on. He's the beginning, and he's the end. Let's continue to read here. It says, I'm the first and the last. It says this, and beside me there is no God. But unfortunately, folks, there are little gods who try to make themselves a god. And we have many gods, little gods in our life, that take the place of our one and true God. And that's unfortunate. And beside me, there is no God. We can't argue that Jesus hasn't been around since the beginning of time because we have so much proof in Scripture that he's always been. To say that he did not exist is saying this. It's saying that there is no God, there never was a God. That's what that's saying. As a young person, and even now in my life, I still find it hard to imagine that God has always been. Again, that's something that my mind can't comprehend because I know that we have a beginning, we have an end, but God has always been. He's always existed, and I'm thankful for that, but even with that being said, it's still hard for me to understand because I've never been around since the beginning. The only beginning I've been around was 47 years ago. That's it, but God has always been. So to say that he hasn't been around since the beginning of time is saying that there is no God, but Scripture is full of truth of not only God's involvement, but is so full of truth with his Son being involved as well. We continue to go on with this theme here. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, I'm just going to paraphrase here, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. What are those words? It's, I am the beginning and I am the end. Again, that's back in this verse back up in Isaiah chapter number 44. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He was so involved with creation, God in him, I believe, this is just how my mind works. So I'm trying to share with you how my mind works. And here's what my mind is thinking. God and him, as they coexist together, they are on the planning committee. That's how I'm looking at that. Verse number 3 says this in chapter number 1 of John. Says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The detail, think about this. Everything that we see, even in here, is a part of God's creation. What do you mean in here? How do you think these walls are being held up? These walls are being held up by lumber. And where does lumber come from? Lumber comes from trees. So everything that we have has been brought into an existence by who? It's been brought into existence by God. The same with cement. I've seen it back in the early days and how they would make these huts stay together. You'd have to have the right mixture of sand and the right mixture of clay, and then they would mix in straw with that. And as they mix those things in and get it to the right texture that they needed, and I'm talking, this is way before our time. And these are some things that are getting back to in our world. I would say the hippies are using this now. But here's what they do. They would mix this up, and then they would slab it on their homes. And that home would become very solid. It would become waterproof and things of that nature. So all things were made by him. And so I just begin to marvel. Jeff and I, we are mowing Monday, and I didn't say anything to him, and we're coming back from Omaha. And as we're coming into Iowa, I was looking off towards the east, and I saw these huge, I call them thunderhead clouds. I think that's what you call them. But I was just looking at that. I was like, wow, those things are massive. And who put them there? God. Can I tell you something funny? Again, you're going to laugh at me. You know how I thought clouds were made? You can laugh all you want. I don't care. I'm good for you guys laughing with me. Okay, we know where Mid-America's at, and we see those smokestacks. Have you ever seen those vapor comes out of those things? Guys, I kid you not. I used to think that's how clouds are made. Am I the only one that thought that? Thanks, Nolan. Thanks, Grace. I appreciate it. Thanks, Lindsay. I'm not the only... Whew! The smart ones will meet after church. The rest of you guys will educate you on how that works. But I'm so glad I'm not alone on that. That's nice. But I remember thinking, so that's how clouds are put in the sky. No, God literally spoke everything into existence. Amen. Which is why when you think of creation, we see the winds when he spoke. As they became fierce, they obeyed him. Why did they obey him? Because he made them. Why do we obey our parents when we're growing up when they tell us to do something? Because they created us. And so when they speak, we listen and we do what we're told. So the winds, they would obey him. The waves would obey him when he would speak to them. The rain, the snow, the heat, the sun. By the way, I saw the forecast next week. It's supposed to be really hot. That means everybody's going to camp. That's what normally happens. The coolness of the moon are even under his command. Why? Because he created these things. There have been many fantastic builders throughout time, but none can ever be compared to Jesus. And I'm not saying these gentlemen here are worthless. No, I'm not saying that. God gave them a tremendous skill to do what they do. But in comparison, they don't hold a candle to win to Jesus Christ. They really don't. But God gave them a great craft. God gave them a great ability to do things. I have seen great detail in woodwork that blows my mind. I think Jeff has the same picture when we're in Bethlehem. They are known for their olive wood there, basically an olive Israel. And they make some tremendous figurines. Matter of fact, I almost came home with one. And so did Jeff. They're really good about trying to sell themselves. And I was looking for something cheap. And I think they knew that. And so they came up to me, and they did the same thing to Jeff. And they came up to me, hey, come over here. I got something I want to share with you. And if you don't want to buy, you don't have to buy, but just let me talk to you a little bit about this. And I said, I'm not interested. You just come look. Okay, I'll come and look. And so I'm looking, I'm thinking, dude, this is $2,900. Yeah, you see the price there is $2,900. But what does this say right here? Then he gets out his calculator. Doo, 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 doo. I can get it to you for $1,800. And I said, no, that's too expensive. He goes, but you like, don't you? You like? I said, yeah, I like. And so he goes over and he grabs two camels. Now, you see the camels, these camels, they're $75 a piece. I can get them down. Oh, I got you down to $1,400. You want to buy? No, I don't want to buy. But to sum it all up, the craftsmanship that they do is phenomenal. And I'm thinking to myself, as you look at these, and if you want, I can share them with you on my phone later on. You would think, as you look at these, that someone with great perfection made these. Yeah, they were perfect as they're doing it, but you can see some flaws. But that's nothing in comparison to how Jesus builds and creates things. But even with just the voice of Jesus, things are spoken into existence. He was life, and his life was the light of men. His light was so bright, it brought confusion. Verse number 5, it says, and light shineth in darkness. What's it say there? It says, and the darkness comprehended it not. It brought confusion. These first 5 verses are important because now John comes upon the scene. He has come to bear witness of that light, and I'm not going to dwell long on this. That light who is Jesus, and he wasn't to be confused being Jesus. John's main goal here was to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. He was here to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah. But sadly, though, even though he created the world, as we dwelt on a while ago, the world knew him not. One of the things that I was looking for as I was seeing this beautiful artwork of the men that created these things, I was wanting to find a name because I want to know who was responsible for this craftsmanship. But the world was literally spoken into existence, and the world knew him not. He was rejected by his own. They had nothing to do with him. Think about this. Imagine going home after being gone for so long, but being rejected by the ones you desire to be with. Think about that. Jesus has a great desire to be amongst us. Jesus has a great desire to have fellowship with us. But even with that being said, with that desire, a majority of the world doesn't have that same desire. And so there is a rejection. Again, let me refer back to what I said a week ago or maybe a few days ago. The men and women who went over to Vietnam, doing what they were trained to do, doing what they were told to do, came back, and most of the world at the time did not agree with them. And they faced rejection. That's still not in comparison to the rejection that Jesus faces to this day. So there's some things we need to understand about Jesus. Jesus faced hurt. Don't think for a second that being rejected did not trouble him, because it troubled him. His desire was, are those to receive him. Upon receiving him, he gave them, as it says here in this other verse, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And then upon his arrival, he distributed grace. He offered truth to the world. And being the Son of God didn't mean that life on earth would be easy. As a matter of fact, for some, it has become very difficult. Who in here hasn't experienced an easy walk as a believer? It's difficult. Which is why in Scripture God says, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. Let me take your burden. I'm paraphrasing there. But that's why he's saying, hey, take my yoke. And I'm going to take your burden, and I'm going to relieve that from you. Why does he say that? Because he knows the walk of believers is hard. It's difficult. So let's continue to go on. The things we don't think about when it comes to the difficulty of being Jesus, one, the word says he had no place to lay his head. Again, we can't even begin to comprehend what Jesus went through at night. Because over there's nothing but rocks. his pillow at night, if he was to lay down, would have been a stone. It said the foxes had holes and the birds of the air had nests to lay in. But the Son of God had no place to lay his head at night. Again, I'm not quoting it word for word, but I want you to understand, being Jesus wasn't exactly great as we think it is. He would put others ahead of himself. Possibly at times he would probably miss a meal here or there. I know we discussed it a few weeks ago, but when Jesus fed the thousands, I don't see where Jesus partook of the meal himself. I almost wondered if Jesus just sat down after he just created this big miracle and we had the fish and the loaves of bread being distributed to thousands of people, and it's being multiplied. There's so much left over that they picked up baskets afterwards. By the way, I saw something on Facebook earlier tonight. Gas is getting expensive. It'd be nice if Jesus can perform that miracle for our gas to let it go, keep going and keep going. But I can just imagine after he did that miracle, he just sat on the shores and began just to look at the people with enjoyment, not even begin thinking about giving nourishment to himself. So being Jesus isn't easy. He would be mocked at, ridiculed, beaten beyond recognition. For what? For what it says here in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He did this for what? He did this, in reality, folks, for rejection. He dwelt among us for this reason, because of his great love for man, and he still continues to seek a relationship with us. And here's something I want to end on. The love of God, how rich and pure. Amen? I'm glad today that when people begin to argue that Jesus hasn't always been, we can go into his word and begin to show them exactly what we went through tonight. And this is just a small portion that he has always been. And that he's living among us. And I'm thankful for that. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we are grateful tonight that you do desire to have a relationship with us. We thank you tonight that you do desire to dwell among us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for every time that we're able to open it. Lord, we know that we're not seeing you physically like we think of seeing you face to face, but Lord, we see you through your word. And we thank you for that. Lord, bless us as we leave here tonight. And again, thank you for everyone who came out tonight. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.